ליקוטי הלכס, יורדיה, חלק א', הלכס הכשר כלים, הלכה ד', פרגרף י' א'. We dedicate the learning today לעילוי נשמת טוביה ברבי ישראל יצחק, ירחמיאל דניאל בן גדליה, and רוזה בס איתמר, and for a complete רפואה שלמה for all those that need it, בסוח שער חולי ישראל. This halacha we've mentioned is based on chapter 66 in Likutei Moran, and we've been focusing on the topic of pishnayim, the concept of a double portion. We've had a lot related to it, and now Rav Nosson Zal is going to go into a very important concept also tied into this pishnayim. Paragraph Yud Aleph, V'zeh b'china shloishesrei midoy shel rachmim. This is tied into the 13 attributes of kindness of Hashem, Shemaschilin Hashem Hashem, which begin with an introduction, Hashem Hashem, and then starts the 13 Midos Shel Rachman, Keol Rachum V'Chanan. Shezeo B'chinas Pishnayim. This double mention of Hashem's name is another example of this Pishnayim. Shal yidei ze ikar hamshochas rachamov hagdoilim vavarube ba'oy moed. And it's through this that we draw Hashem's greatest, highest level of kindness. Shal yidei ze ikar mechilas avoinois. And this is one of the most important contributing factors to having our sins forgiven. Afilu im kilkel kemoisha kilkel chas v'shon. Even if a person messed up, terribly as they messed up. V'kamuvan b'zoyer HaKodesh al posuk zeh, Hashem Hashem, and as the Zoyer HaKodesh explains this posuk, shehizkir shnei pomim, that the Torah mentions these words Hashem Hashem twice, u'posuk b'neihem, and there's a psik, there's a dividing line between them. U'pirush, and the Zoyer HaKodesh explains, kadmo shlim, Basro Shlim Yatir, Ayin Shom. I remember hearing about this in a shiur from Rav Rosenfeld, Zechron Levracha, in one of the Ein Yaakov shiurim, towards the beginning of Masechta Soita, where he gave an incredible shiur on the topic of the humility of a Talmud Chacham, where the Gemara there says that a Talmud Chacham is supposed to have an eighth of Gaiva. And there, in the final explanation that Rav Rosenfeld gave for that topic, he brought in a whole beautiful drasha from Rav Shimshon Ostropalia, and part of it required explaining this point that we're learning about here now, where the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that whenever there's a mention of a tzaddik in the Torah, Avraham, Avraham, Moshe, Moshe, the first time the name is mentioned, it implies that the tzaddik was not yet bishleimus. The second time his name is mentioned, it implies at that point he's shleimus. So the first one is einoy shlim, the second one is shlim. So the Zohar HaKadosh asks, what about Hashem, Hashem, keol rachum v'chanon? We can't chas v'shalom say by Hashem any concept of einoy shlim. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, you're right. The first one is shlim, the first one is complete, and the second one is shlim yatir, even more complete, implying hainu shekedushas Hashem Hasheni hu gavoya bishleimus yoiser mehashem horishon, implying that the holiness of that second yud kei vav kei is a much higher level than the first one. And we know the Iker Hashlemus, the Inyan Shmois of Hakdoshim Yisborach, when we talk about the perfection of Hashem's names, and when we talk about a particular name being on a higher level, Hurak the Inyan Heoras Vahamshochas Chasodo Veracham of Lamato. It's only referring to the amount of kindness of Hashem that's flowing down to us from that name of Hashem. Ki Hashem echod u'shmo echod, because Hashem is one, and all the names of Hashem are one. Ve'ein boi shum shinui chas v'shom. There is no diversity by Hashem. There's no change by Hashem. Kamei shekosuv, as the pasuk says, Ani Hashem lo shonisi. I am Hashem. I haven't changed. So how does the where is there change? The answer is Rak Hashinuyim Shebein Shmoisav Yisborach. The only differences among the names of Hashem is regarding Shezeh Hashem Gavoya Yosem Mechaveroi, where we say that one name of Hashem is higher than another name, Ad Shekosa Bezoyanal, to the point where the Zohar HaKadosh writes over there, Shafilu Shnei Shemois Havaya Hanal, that even those two Yud Kei Vav Keis, Yesh Psik Beinehim, there's a separation between them, Lohoyrois, to show Shehasheni Bishleimus Yoise Meharishon, that the second one represents a higher level than the first one, Vahashleimus Ze Al Ze, Hu Rak Beinyan Ribui Horachamim, Ubitul Vahamtoka Sadinim. When we talk about that second Yud Kei Vav Kei being higher, being more Shalem than the first one, it's only regarding how much kindness and to what degree there's an elimination of Midas Hadin that's being achieved by it. Shehem Bechinas Roiges V'charoy Navchas V'shom. Dinim, when we speak about judgments of Hashem, that's a display of Hashem's anger, Kaviyochol. Kamuvan B'kol Kisvei HaRizal, as is expressed throughout the writings of the Arizal. Shekol ma shehabechina v'madrega govoya yoiser, that whenever we speak about a higher level among the spheroids, among the midos of Hashem, among the names of Hashem, shemeirin shom shemois gevoyim yoiser, whereby we say that on that higher level, there are higher level names of Hashem shining there, shom hadinim mismatim. What that means is that the Midas Hadin is less over there. V'horachamim misrabim shom yoiser. The kindness of Hashem is greater over there. There's less din, more rachamim. That's the higher level. That's the higher level name of Hashem. V'zeh mailas hatzadikim horomim v'hagovoyim oy. And this also explains the greatness of the very, very high-level tzaddikim, she'oilem b'chol pam l'madregos gavoya yoiser, who are constantly rising to higher and higher levels, ad she'makirin gidulosoi ugdula shmoisav yisporach yoisev yoiser, which this gives them a higher level of recognition of Hashem's greatness and Hashem's higher-level names. Ad shemamshichim rachmim gedoilim v'chadoshim b'chol pam. And this enables these tzaddikim to be able to bring down higher levels of Hashem's kindness, higher level and new levels of Hashem's kindness all the time, ba'oifen sheyuchlu lechaper avoinos Yisrael, to enable them to bring about a forgiveness of the sins of the Jewish people, ulahashivam b'tshuva, and to help us be zeichet to do real tshuva, af ba'ez shekilkulu ma'oid ma'oid, even during those times when we messed up terribly, kemoi ba'ez ha'egel, like at the time of the golden calf, worshipping the golden calf, she'oz kilkulu Yisroel harbe, at that time the Jewish people caused tremendous, tremendous damage. It was major destruction. Moshe Rabbeinu be'oitzem koichoi hisgaber b'tfilosoi, and Moshe Rabbeinu, with his great power, he strengthened himself. He turned on his power of tefillah to the highest possible degree. Umosar nafshoi, and he actually put his life on the line at she'olo lamokim she'olo, which enabled him to go up to the incredible high place that he went up to. To the point where Hashem revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu his incredible kindness and goodness, which had not been revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu prior to that, which are these 13 attributes of kindness, which Hashem revealed only at that time, after the sin of the Egel Azov. V'ze ikur bechinas pishnayim shel atzadik. And this is the real, this is really the explanation and the definition of that double power of the tzadik. Shemasig ato hasova govoya beyoyser veyoyser metchila, whereby the tzaddik now achieves a much, much higher level recognition of Hashem's kindness, of Hashem's greatness, much more than he had previously. Shehu bechinas pishnayim, and that's what we refer to as this double portion. V'zehu bechinas Hashem Hashem kel rachum v'chanon v'chul etc. Sheikar ribui rachum of yisporach, that the real great kindness of Hashem masigin alidei bechinas pishnayim, we achieve through that double portion, through that Hashem Hashem. V'zeh shom Rabbi Seinuzal, and this also explains what the Gemara says at the end of Yuma, Hashem koidem shiechto adam, Hashem li'achar shiechto, that the first yud kei vav kei there refers to before a person commits a sin. The second yud kei vav kei refers to and is applied after a person commits a sin, meaning haynu shekoidem sheyechto, before a person commits a sin, maspik loy horachmonos hanimshach mishem havaya harishon, that person can live, can receive life and sustenance and bounty from that first yud kei vav kei. That's enough. Ki shem havaya baruch hu, hu bechinas rachamim gedolim kayadua, because Hashem's name yud kei vav kei refers to a very high level kindness, as is known in the Sifrei Kabbalah. Avol achar sheyechto adam, but after a person commits a sin, oz nimshach olav rachmim alidei shem havaya hasheni, then that person isn't able to receive rachmonis anymore from that first yud kei vav kei. Then he has to receive rachmonis from the second yud kei vav kei, shehu shlim yatir, which is even a higher level. Kama shekosa b'zoyer, now as the Zohar HaKadosh writes, ki achar acheit ein maspik lehoodom horachmim hanimshocha mi'ashem arishon, because after a person commits a sin, Hashem's standard kindness is no longer good for that person, because that person has destroyed that connection through the sin. Rak Hashem yisporach merachim olav berachamim rabim ugedoilim beyoyser. But rather, Hashem takes pity on that person and uses a different channel. Hashem uses a much higher level of kindness, Hanim shochem me Hashem hasheni, which comes from that second yud kei vav kei, shehu shlim yatir, which the Zohar HaKadosh describes as being a greater shlemus, a higher level of perfection. The first one is perfect, the second one is a higher level of perfection. V'chol ze bekoyach hatzadikim hagedoylem, and all of this we are able to have access to through the power of the great tzaddikim, sheyecholim lahamshich bechinas pishnayim lechol amakurovim, who have the ability to draw that double power to all those who are close to them, shayidei ze ein shum yush ba'olam klal, and that's what ensures that there's no such thing possible as giving up hope. There's no such thing as cannot be helped. Ki koichom einoi nifsak loilam, because the power of these great tzaddikim never ends. Ubechol pam sheboim aleim, and every time that we come to these great tzaddikim, afim hu kemoi shehu, even if the person is as bad as they are, hey mamshichim tikunim verachamim rabim mimokoim govoya yoiser veyoiser, the tzaddikim draw solutions, and they draw Hashem's incredible kindness from higher and higher levels. Ki chazdei Hashem loy samnu v'loycholu rachmav loylam, because Hashem's kindness is infinite. There's no limit. There's no boundary to it at all whatsoever. Any questions, please? A question. Besides receiving this via the tzaddikim, we also learn that these 13 attributes of kindness are revealed at an eis ratzon. Do we need the tzaddik even then? The answer is most definitely yes. Most definitely yes. One example is that the eis ratzon of the week, the highest eis ratzon of the entire week, is Shabbos at Mincha. And part of what makes it such a special eis ratzon is the three tzaddikim that we're connecting to at that time. The fact that the Gemara tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu, Yosef HaTzadik, and Dovid HaMelech passed away on Shabbos at Mincha. They went up to pass away. When a tzaddik passes away, he goes up. He's Nistalek. Because Shabbos Mincha is a time when these three tzaddikim experienced the greatest aliyah of their life, in that they passed away, as we learned in the previous shiurim here, that when a tzaddik passes away, he goes up to a much higher place than during his lifetime. That's what defines, that's part of what defines Shabbos Mincha as a super eis ratzon. So it's not that when there's an eis ratzon, I don't need a tzaddik anymore. I can do it by myself. That's a terrible, terrible mistake. We need the tzaddik always. We need the tzaddikim always. And this is why Rabbeinu Zal said that whenever a person is davening, it's important to have in mind that we're binding ourselves, we're being mekasher ourselves to all the tzaddikim. Because tefillah, the word tefillah, is bigematria Moshe Yosef David. And tefillah is, whenever a person is davening, it's an eis ratzon also to a degree. And the Gemara tells us that tefillah is in the place of karbonos. The karbonos, the effectiveness of the karbonos was that they were brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Who built the Beis HaMikdash? Who built the Mishkan? The answer is all of Klal Yisrael contributed to it, but they had to bring all the materials to the tzaddik. They had to bring all the materials to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who put up the Mishkan. In the case of the Beis HaMikdash, everything was brought to Shlomo HaMelech, and it was under his guidance and leadership that the Beis HaMikdash was built. So we never leave that out of the equation. There's no part of Yiddishkeit that let's leave the tzaddik out of it. We can do this without them. No such thing. Now Rav Nosson Zal goes back to the topic of our halacha, which is the topic of Hechsher Kelim, Tvilas Kelim. Paragraph Yudbeis, v'zeh b'chinas tefilas mikvah. And this is tied into the concept of dipping in the mikvah. Shal yidei zeh kol hatmeim yoytzim itum alatara. Through this, all those things that are tomei, that are impure, are able to leave that state of impurity and go into a state of purity. Ki kol hatumois shein b'chinas averois, because all types of impurity, of which a major example is sin. A sin is because a sin causes a spirit of impurity to rest upon the person who committed the sin. Kulom nimshochim al yidei pigam hispatchus hayodayim. All of this tumah, all of this impurity, is brought about and comes upon us through a problem in the opening up of the hands that we've spoken about in the previous shiur. Shehu b'chinas pegam moitzi mikoyach el hapoyal dikdusha. This refers to a problem in being able to bring things from thought into action, from potential into actuality. Pegam b'chinas pishnayim kanal, which is a pigam in the double portion issue, the yud ke vav ke aleph dalet nun yud, which we've spoken about in the previous shurim here. Kamuvan mevura b'hatoyra nal, as Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in chapter 66 on Likutei Moran. And now Rav Nosson Zal is going to clarify it also. Kavidei kol aveira chas v'sholim, nistale korua chayim delesato, v'nisaleim lemalo. Because as a result of every sin that's committed, what happens is the Ruach HaChaim, which was receiving from that Ruach Dela'ela, goes up. It leaves the person, and it becomes hidden in a very high place. V'choyzeh v'nisalim ha'poyal b'hakoyach. And the actualization leaves and gets hidden back up in potential. B'chinas hastora, b'chinas hastora, which is the concept of hiddenness. Hashem becomes hidden from us. V'azai shoyra olav b'chinas ruach hatumah. And when this happens, when that ruach of kedusha leaves the person, then a ruach of tumah takes over. Shehu b'chinas chius shenifrat misharoshayim, b'chinas ruach deleila. This is referring to an energy, a spirituality that has become separated, disconnected, detached from its source, from that ruach deleila, that upper ruach. Bechinas nirgan mafrid aluf. This is a pasuk that's quoted many times in Kabbalah and Hasidus, that when a person commits a sin, they cause a break, a separation, a disconnect. Shehu bechinas chius de sitra achra. This is referring to the energy of the sitra achra, shenimshach derech ha'aloma vehester, which is not coming in a revealed manner, it only comes in a very, very hidden manner. Shezeh hachius hu bechinas misa. That energy, that life, is referred to as death. Bechinas rishoim bechayim kruyim esim. As the Gemara says, rishoim, while they're living, are referred to as dead. The life energy, their life energy, is referred to as death. V'alkein hatikun al yedei tfilas mikveh mayim. And therefore, the way that we correct this, the solution is by dipping in a mikveh of water. Kimeyacha shenitmo v'nistalek hachius mehapoyal v'nista v'nisalim ba'koyach kanal. Because as a result of this tumah, which caused the holy energy to leave the poyal, the action, the actuality, and go back up and become hidden in the potential, in the thought, who tzorich lachzor v'lalois l'tchilas hashoyrish. The person now who committed this sin has to go back up, rise up to the beginning, the original source, l'bechinas hakoyach, to that place of thought, of potential, l'bechinas haruach deleila, to that upper ruach, lachzor v'leftoyach shom hapesach dikdusha, to reopen an opening of holiness, b'chinas hispatchus hayodayim, to open up those hands again. Lachzor ulohoitzi mechodosh mikoyach alapoyal, and to start to bringing down a new flow coming from koyach to poyal. Sheze b'chinas tshuva. This is what the tshuva process is all about. Shehu b'chinas pesach charata. The terminology that's used in the Gemara and the Torah about a person who's doing tshuva is they want to create an opening. The term that's used is a pesach of charata, of regret. Shetzorich lachzor l'shoroshoy. The person has to return to their roots, to the source. Lachzor ulahamshich b'chinas hispatchus hayadayim, to go back and reopen the hands that became closed in a sense. V'zeh b'chinas mikveh mayim, and this is what a mikveh is all about. Kishom ruach elokim merachefes al pnei hamoyim, because the second pasuk in the Torah tells us that the divine spirit of Hashem, the ruach elokim, this ruach hovers over the waters. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, do ruchoi shel Moshiach. This also refers to the divine spirit of Moshiach. Shehu tachlis shoyresh kol haruchois v'hanefoshois v'hachiyus shel kol boi oilam. When we speak about the ruach of Moshiach, we're referring to the source of all spirits, all souls, all spiritual life of everyone in the world. It's all rooted in this ruach of Moshiach. Shemishon iker hamshocha sachiyas tigdusha me'akoyach al apoyal. And it's from there, from this ruach of Moshiach, this ruach which hovers over the waters, that we draw holy life from koyach to poyal, from above to below. Kimavur shamba toiranal, as Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in chapter 66 of Likutei Moran. V'yalkein hu merachef al pnei hamayim, and based on what we're learning here, we'll understand why it hovers over the waters. Ki mayim hu bebechinas koyach neged klal habriya. When we speak about the world which Hashem created, water represents the potential for creation. Ki gam behabriya biatzma yesh bechinas koyach upoyal. Because regarding the creation of the world, there were also these two stages. There was phase one, phase two. There was potential and actualization. Umayim hin bebechinas koyach neged klal habriya. And therefore, water represents the potential for creation compared to the actual creation which took place during those 6 days of the mountains and the rivers and the trees and the birds and the animals and everything. Ki mitchilo hoyo ho'oilom mayim b'mayim. Because originally, in the very, very beginning, the world was wall-to-wall water. K'mayisham Rabbi Seinuzal, as the Gemara says, V'oz hoyo kol ho'oilom v'chol asher boi b'koyach b'soy hamayim. And at that point, the world, all of the continents and all the cities and the rivers and the mountains and the trees and the animals were all in a state of koyach, in potential, in the water, in that original water. V'shom hoyo ruach elokim. And in that water was found the divine spirit of Hashem, shehu ruchoy shel Moshiach. The ruach of Moshiach merachefes was hovering over there. Shehu klal kol haruchois vachias deleila ulesato shel kol boi olam. That ruach elokim that's referred to over there represents a composite of all the ruchois, all of the divine spirits, and all the spiritual life above and below of everything and everyone in the world. V'yachakach, and after phase one, there was a phase two where yotzo hakoil mikoyach alapoil, where Hashem took everything from potential into actualization, from thought into action. And Hashem went ahead, and on each one of the 6 days, He created all kinds of things. V'yalkein, and therefore, hatome, a person who is impure, shenitmo, who became impure, shehu al yidei shenestalek mimenu hachiyus b'chinas poel, as a result, that the spiritual energy that that person had inside of them left them. V'nesalem b'chinas hakoyach, it went up and became hidden in that ruach de la'ela, in potential. So the person now was left without a ruach of kedusha, and therefore the ruach of tumah took over. Hu tzorich litboil b'mayim, that person has to dip themselves in water, kedei lachzor l'shoroshoy, to go back to their roots, l'shoyrish haruach deleila, to the source, the original source of ruach deleila, b'chinas koyach ha'elyon, that heavenly power, kedei lachzor ulehizbatel shom, for the person to go up and become nullified over there, become connected there. Kedei lachzor lahoitzi misham mechodosh mikoyach alapoil, in order to enable that person to restart that flow from koyach to poyal, sheyenim shechol of ruach chaim digdusha mebechinas ruach deleila, that the person should be able to receive now a new flow of spiritual life coming from that ruach deleila, from that upper ruach, shubechinas ruach elokim, ruchoy shel Moshiach, hamarachif al pnei amoyim, which is that very high level ruach, shemishom kol hataharos v'kedushos, which is the source of all purity and all holiness. Ki ikar hataharo v'hakedusha nimsheches al yidei bechinas moitzi mikoyach el apoyal digdusha. Because the whole concept of drawing purity and holiness in this world comes from and is dependent on being able to bring forth things from koyach to poyal, from potential into actualization, from ruach de la'ela to ruach de la'sata. V'zeh shekosuv, and this is why the pasuk says, v'zorakti aleichem mayim tohirim, Hashem says, I will pour on you, I will throw upon you purifying waters, utahatem mikol tomoseichem, and you will become purified from all of your impurities. Hainu bechinas mikvei mayim shel Yisrael. This refers to a mikveh, a Jewish mikveh. Shehu bechinas mayim tohirim hametaharim mikol hatumois umikol hagilulim. This is the purifying waters which purify us from all types of impurity, from all types of idols. Al yedei zeh, and then the pasuk continues over there, v'nosati lochem lev chodosh, and I'll give you a new heart. V'ruach chadosho etein bekirbechem, I will place inside of you a new ruach. V'hasiroisi es lev ho'evem mibsarchem, I will remove the heart of stone from inside your flesh. V'es ruchi etein bekirbechem, I will place my ruach, Hashem says, inside of you, v'yosisi, and I will see to it, I'll make it happen, es asher b'chukai teilechu, that you will follow my laws. Kal yidei mayim tohoirim, b'chinas tfilas mikvah shel Yisrael, because through these purifying waters, by Jews dipping in the mikvah, al yidei zeh nimshach b'chinas ruach hadosho, that's how we draw upon ourselves this new ruach, shu bechinas pishnayim, which is this double power. Shemamshichen toisves chius digdusha meharuach deleila bechinas gavoyamoy, whereby we draw upon ourselves a much greater holy energy from that upper ruach, from a very high place. Shaydeze nitorin mikol hoavoynois. And this is what enables us to become purified from all of our sins, umikol hatumos, and from all types of impurity. Ki ze ikar tikun hatshuva, because this is one of the main components and one of the main completions of the tshuva process. Any questions, please?
I guess it's like all aspects of Yiddishkeit. There's a lot going on when a person immerses themselves in a mikvah. It's like same old, but it's not. How do you sort of refresh that thinking?
You said it perfectly, that sometimes to us it seems as if nothing changed. I went to the mikveh yesterday, I went today, I'm going to go tomorrow. I don't really see or feel any change. That doesn't mean nothing is changing. We have to believe that this is where the faith comes in. And if a person doesn't believe, then that detracts from its ability to work. The Gemara says a person who doesn't believe that Yom Kippur works, that Yom Kippur erases our sins, then chas v'shalom for that person, it doesn't. It doesn't erase. So there's an incredible importance here of growing in emunah, in increasing our faith, in really believing that my going to the mikveh is making a major change. I feel it, I don't feel it, that's not the proof, because unfortunately, we are so hardened, we are so megushim, we are so materialistic, that we've deadened our spiritual nerves, that we can't feel the change. Just like when Shabbos starts, many people don't feel a nuclear change taking place inside of themselves or inside their home. Does that mean it's not happening? It is happening. And the way that we participate, the way is by building up our emunah, that before I go into the mikveh, before I do any mitzvah, I believe be'emunah shlema, that this is life-changing, that every, and especially mikveh, mikveh can make for a goy into a Jew, mikveh can make the transition to change a non-Jew into a Jew. So of course, it affects a major change on me. This, you know, and that's where the coming close to tzaddikim is so important, because the main message that the tzaddik delivers is emunah. And the way that he does it, Rav Nosson Zal here is showing you from psukim, from gemaras, from sifrei kabbalah, from all of these places, by explaining how the creation of the world began with it. He's giving us tremendous insights that we didn't have before to realize what water is and what all of these things are and how things work. And therefore, based on learning the sforim of tzaddikim and based on coming close to tzaddikim, I build up my emunah. I keep increasing my faith to higher and higher levels where I do believe, and every day I believe even more and more, that putting on tefillin, I put on tefillin this morning, I'm a brand new person. I put on a talis, it's a total new, renew, mamish, a brand new, completely new. A person takes their car in to a mechanic to fix, and they come to pick up the car, and they look at the car, and the car looks exactly the same as when I brought it. He says, I hope you fixed it. He says, I fixed it. He gives him the bill, 33,000 shekel. What do you do here? The car looks exactly the same as when I brought it in. You're right, it looks exactly the same because you don't have eyes. You don't know what I did. I replaced the engine and I replaced the this and the that. Oh, I didn't know. You're right, you didn't know because you're not a mechanic. Just like the tzaddikim, the true tzaddikim, they know, they see the changes that take place inside of us, you know, and they try to imbue us with the emunah. And if a person builds up the emunah to higher and higher levels, they can get to a level where they can see the change. We told the story many times of the Basayan, you know, who came to Eretz Yisrael because a Meshulach told him in Eretz Yisrael, the stones glow with Hashem's light. And he came to Eretz Yisrael and he's looking at the stones and he doesn't see any glowing. And this went on for a few weeks and he felt terrible. What's going on? And then at one point he meets the Meshulach again. And he says to the Meshulach, you remember what you told me? Yes, I don't see it. He said, Rebbe, you don't see it. You have to be zeicha to see it. To see, to feel is a whole other level of zechia. Takes an incredible zchus. So the Basayan says, I got it. And I started pleading with Hashem, begging Hashem, open my eyes. Give me the ability to see. And he said, yesterday, I started seeing Baruch Hashem. And because of that, he made a major suda, a major celebration for the people of Tzfas to celebrate that Hashem opened his eyes, that he was able to see a little bit of the holiness of Eretz Yisrael.
Thank you, Rav Nosson.
Question asked, that if mikveh purification, why is it that a woman, when she reaches a certain stage in her life, she's no longer required to toivel in the mikveh like men? The answer is that there are many factors involved here, where a person at a certain point, depending on who is the person, I just mentioned this yesterday in a shir at Shalashudas. We know that a kohen, no matter how old he is, he's allowed to do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara tells us Yochanan Kohen Gadol was serving in the Beis Mikdash when he was 80 years old. A Levi is only allowed to serve from age 30 to age 50. He reaches 50, he goes into retirement, is no longer allowed to do the Avodah of the Levi in the Beis Mikdash. A Kohen, if he has a mum, if he has any bodily defect, that disqualifies him from doing the Avodah in the Beis Mikdash. A Levi, if he has a mum, is definitely allowed to do his avodah. So the question is, make up your mind. If age is a problem, then it should disqualify the kohen also. And if mum is a problem, how come the Levi is allowed to do avodah when he has a mum? And the answer is that this is an example of showing that there are all kinds of differences in Yiddishkeit and in Klal Yisrael. For the kohen, age is an asset. The older he gets, the better he gets. And for Levi, age is a deterrent. Kohen represents chesed. The older a person gets, the more they achieve higher and higher levels of chesed. He's doing his job even better. A mum, the word mum in Hebrew, is bigimatria elikim. Elikim is Hashem's name for din, judgment, midas adin. Therefore, for a kohen, a mum is a disqualifier. The kohen is supposed to be chesed. Mum contradicts what the Kohen is all about. Levi represents Midas HaDin. The mission of a Levi is to represent Gevura, Din. And therefore, if a Levi goes past a certain age, he's too mellow. He's not the Din that we need from him. And therefore, a Mum is not a disqualifier by him. It doesn't disqualify him in any way. So here also, men and women have different tikkunim. And chas v'shalom, a man wants to do a woman's role, or a woman wants to do a man's role, the Torah warns that that's major destruction. That's part of the insanity that's affecting the world nowadays. As we get closer to the coming of Mashiach, we're told that things are going to get worse and worse, darker and darker. And an example of the darkness is that in the secular culture, they're trying to dismantle the separation between men and women. No, a man can be a woman can be a man. They want to do away with gender. So all of this, Rachmona Litzlan, which is one of the worst, worst forms of andralamusia, total, total destruction. So it seems that when it comes to a woman, it's only when the blood is strong, that's when the mikvah applies to her. After a certain age, it's no longer needed. Whereas by a man, throughout his life, as old as he gets, the tikkun of mikvah definitely continues to apply. Paragraph Yud Gimel, V'zeo b'chinas tvilas kelim, shenilmad mi tvilas klei midyan. And now this will also explain the importance that when we acquire a utensil, a keli, from a non-Jew, in order for a Jew to be allowed to use it, we have to first dip it in the mikvah. And that we learn this from the case of the vessels of Midyan. This is mamish current events. Parshas Balak is coming up soon. This coming Shabbos, we're going to read Parshas Chukas. After that comes Parshas Balak, where Bilam, after trying many times to curse the Jews and saw that he couldn't succeed, he gave Balak advice, great advice. You want to destroy the Jewish people? One of the most effective ways is get them to commit sins with women, non-Jewish women. Send your women out to seduce them. And sure enough, they did. And this caused some Jews succumb to the test. And then after that, Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jews to go out and kill the Midianim. And at a certain point, they were told that any vessels that they acquire from the Midianim have to first be koshered before it can be used by a Jew. Ki kelim shel achila hayotze mirishus akum, mirishus hasitrachra, because utensils that are used for eating, when they leave the possession of a non-Jew, they're leaving the sitrachra, tzrichin tefila b'mikvah, must be dipped in a mikvah. Ki achilas Yisroel koidish, because the eating of a Jew is something holy. Kalidei ho achila mamshichin hachius, because eating is what gives us life. If a person eats properly, that's what gives a person energy, life. V'alkein tzrichen lechol b'gdusha al pi ha-Torah. And therefore, a Jew must eat with holiness, following all of the guidance and direction of the Torah. Kama shekosuv, as it says in Tehillim, v'soy roscha b'soych me'ai. Hashem, I have your Torah in my digestive system, in my intestines. Upirish Rashi, Rashi HaKodesh says there, kol ma'acholai al pi toirascha. All of my eating is based on the Torah. Kdei lahamshich hachiyus hanimshach halidei hachila. In order to enable us to draw that energy which comes from eating, lahamshichoi bigdusha betara, to draw it with holiness and purity. Lahamshich hachiyus meharuach de la'ela, laharuach de la'sata, bebchinas moitzi mikoyach ala koyana, to be able to draw spiritual energy and life from the upper ruach down to the lower ruach, from koyach to poyal. V'alkein osur lechol mikliyakum, and therefore it's forbidden for us to eat from utensils of a non-Jew, shehem tmeim lachilas Yisroel, which are considered impure for a Jew's eating. Ki achiyas shemekablim elamalo iker hayegia lahamshich achiyas begdusha hu be'inyin tikun hakelim. Now Rav Nosson Zal explains a very, very important basic concept in Kabbalah, that when a person is drawing life, energy from above, from heaven, and they want to draw it with holiness, it's extremely critical to prepare the proper vessels into which to receive that energy. It's impossible to draw energy, life, from above, to bring it down here, unless the kalim, the vessels, have been prepared properly. That's what all of our mitzvahs are all about, the Torah and all of its mitzvahs. Shall yideze oisim kalim kedoshim lekabel ulahamshich achius behadrogo ubemida koroi. By studying the Torah, by fulfilling all of its mitzvahs, we prepare the proper vessels to enable us to receive spiritual light, spiritual energy, in a healthy way, in a healthy, controlled manner, where it could only benefit us and not do any harm. V'alkein, and therefore, achilas Yisroel, the eating of a Jew, shalideizeh mamshichin hachiyus melamado lamato, which is one of the ways that we're drawing this energy from above down here, tzricho liyos bekelim tohoirim, the eating must be in pure vessels. V'alkein, kleyakom heim tmei melachilis Yisroel, and that's why utensils or vessels of a non-Jew are tamei, are impure for a Jew. Ki klei akum hein bebechinas boirois nishborim asher lo yochilu hamoyim. There's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu Navi where it speaks about broken wells that cannot hold any water. So Rav Nosson Zal says the vessels, the utensils of non-Jews are like these broken wells that cannot hold any water. She'enom yecholim lahamshich meimei hadas. They cannot enable us to draw the waters of Das coming from that divine spirit of Hashem above to draw it down below. And that's why it's forbidden for a Jew who is a member of this holy nation to eat from those utensils before dipping them in the holy waters of mikvah. By doing that, we reconnect those utensils, those vessels, to the divine spirit of Hashem, which hovers over the waters. By doing this, we draw upon these utensils a new ruach, a ruach of purity and holiness. And that's what enables us to be able to eat Jewish food in those utensils. And thereby, lahamshich chiyus digdusha al yodoi meharuach deleila leruach delesata. And by eating properly, bigdusha, we're able to draw holy energy from that Ruach de Leila down to the Ruach de Lesata. Sheze Iker Hachius Famiti. That's real life. That's drawing real life energy. And Rav Nosson Zal will continue in the next paragraph explaining what took place with the whole story of Midian, why we learned this whole concept from there. Wishing everybody a wonderful day and week. Shpisoicha to a good, happy week with Yeshuas and Refuas and the Geula Shleima b'mhera b'meinu, Amen v'Amen.
Amen.